Good morning, brothers and sisters. Lovely to be here. Oldest brother Mark to my right. Greetings in the Lord, and I obviously bring greetings from the Waitakere Ecclesia here this morning. Finally got a laptop, so I learned how there's a reading mode that you can use. I thought, oh, that makes it easier to instead of scrolling down the page, but maybe not for the first time. I might try it, we'll see. But it goes left to right, not up and down, which is a bit spooky because I can't kind of see where my points are. thanks for having me, and thanks for the readings and the hymns. You've got used to, in Waitakere, you would think is a larger ecclesia, but we seem to have decimated our pianists, so we too fall to the online hymns and bits and pieces. It's quite a foreign concept when you turn up to a meeting, there's someone actually playing, but I think they still try that in Whangarei, don't they?
You do, yeah.
Oh, do you? Very good. Psalm 118, verse 24 said, "This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." Actually, I saw something this morning in the Simpson household. I took a photo of it, which I thought was actually quite interesting. It says, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That is why it is called the present." I think that's also very fitting, that this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. This talk I gave back in late May, and I'm sorry, I don't get a new one, I just get regurgitation, but you'd think I'd get better at the message, but we'll see about that. And it's about relationships, about God, Jesus, your ecclesia and your fellow man. And the reason I penned this exhort, because we had a young brother in our meeting, a young man in our meeting, who I interviewed and then baptised and gave the words for that, his first Sunday. This is what this exhort is about. But we can take it, even though most of us are not new brethren, but the young people, you can choose to listen or not. My messaging is quite simple. It's relatively short. Actually, I should have seen what time I started. I won't go on too long. And we welcome this brother into our fellowship. He's actually since moved. He's going to flight school in Christchurch. So he was with us for about a month, and now he's down in Christchurch, but still joining our online Bible class, which was encouraged, and he's a good young man. Many of us are born and raised by loving and faithful parents who instructed us in God's teaching and who instill that moral fibre into our lives as we grow into the adults we are today. And we give thanks to Sunday school teachers who spend tireless efforts getting up early on a Sunday. I did not this morning. To feed those eager minds and set those foundations for our young people, as well as our many organisers and leaders who put together, in my neck of the woods, CYC, and camps around the country, Bible schools, people that have honed and solidified this message and helped knot together the bonds of friendship as the path of our teenage years sort of grow into that adulthood. And I can't speak more highly about that. I don't know all of you. Some of you come from very small ecclesias or where you were living for a long time, like Uncle Leo. Sister-in-law Mary, similar. My brother Mark, very similar. If I was just thinking about it this morning, growing up and looking around this ecclesia and Whangarei was of similar size, if not smaller, for a long periods of time in my childhood. And So I will say to the young people, there is hope. I know it can be tough growing up in a small ecclesia from first-hand experience, but you can get there with perseverance and building those relationships with the people around you, and that goes for the adults, you know, building those relationships with the adults that you see in practicing in the promises that we've been given. And so we thank our Heavenly Father for this example of our creation, and it shows him all around us, and we thank him for his inspired message and the lessons contained within the Bible, a message that binds all of us here together. And of course his Son, who we come to remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate student, who went on to become the teacher of all teachers, our Messiah, our one true Redeemer, who died that we may have that hope of a life filled with sincerity, joy and love. And without God's grace and without his calling, none of us would be here today. And we call on the Lord to return, don't we? Especially when we're facing life's challenges. And just doing the readings last night made me think on what was being discussed about, you know, what had to take place in Israel for God to send his son to this earth again. And the discussion of what we were talking about kind of made me think, well, goodness, there might be a long way to go yet. So yeah, it's hard sometimes to keep our faith when that promise of return is can seem distant. And we need to remember, though, that time is unknown to us for that for a reason. It is, and it's simple enough for us to know that it is in God's hands, and one day his plan and his purpose will finally be revealed to one and all. And this delay of his son not returning in some ways has allowed our brother Jake Young to take up that saving grace and that mantle of accepting baptism. So that is a great gift for us, and it encourages us to carry on. And but it is that simple message of simply to repent and be baptised. 2 Timothy, when I gave this, was the 2 Timothy chapter 2 was the daily reading, and it says in verse 22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so the messaging today is simple. I don't need to get into the way of it and overcomplicate it. It's going to be really based on, you know, what was discussed at that time in the baptism interview, and, you know, or interviewer's his statement of faith that was given. So, you know, in Acts we see an example of Philip, and the Lord told Philip to go to the desert road in Jerusalem with the Ethiopian eunuch, and told the Spirit told Philip to go near the chariot, and he heard the eunuch reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch is asking Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else? And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And then it gets to this point of saying, as they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch asked that very simple but direct question, which I probably didn't get to, or I probably did actually when it came to my baptism, but it was something that was shown to me and something that happened to me that I realised, like the eunuch, look, here is water, what can stand in the way of me being baptised? And sometimes we look around, we look for other things, and we're waiting for a sign, It's there right in front of you a lot of the time. And as you know, we're instructed to be baptised. And when we do, we are doing what is asked of us and showing our understanding of the scriptures and knowing that the sheep in chapter 8 of Acts was the Lord Jesus Christ who was sacrificed. And, you know, we come to this momentous decision to be baptised by having, and it's each different for us, but having sort of the following happen in this order. It's number one, prayer, you know, in communication with God, asking for his guidance. Number two, reading God's word and looking to the examples of those who follow man and those who follow God in the guidelines that he has set out very clearly. Three, confessing our faith to others and having repentance for our sins. And four, baptism, with well-comprehended and direct understandings, we put one foot in front of the other, which leads us to being baptised, because we know in our hearts that it is the only true way to achieve salvation, and because this is what Christ did by putting on the new man. And you know, newly baptised members are in our fellowship are wonderful role models for the young and the old. And we can learn this in Timothy, where Paul gives instruction to the timid brother Timothy. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And you know, with newly baptised people, it's this, you know, they regard themselves as their role model is, they might first think of the younger Sunday school people around them, the younger generation, that they are showing as an example of what's next or what's on the agenda. But you know, every brother and sister are role models to each of us here. None of us are perfect. And none of us suddenly, nor gradually for that matter, achieved perfection from baptism. It's a misnomer that, you know, everything is fine when you get baptised, and it's not. It's setting your marker in the ground, but you know, you grow a massive conscience. Well, that's the way I look at it personally. My conscience grew a lot, shall we say. And we still have these ups and downs in our life, and on, you know, this is what our life is on this side of the kingdom. And nowhere in the Bible are we told that life is going to be easy, but we are told to rejoice. You know, this is a key for us to shine, to rejoice. And it's not an intent to outshine or blind those around you. It's as a sign of encouragement, as an example how you can choose to simply be, how your relationship with God first serves you personally and then those around you in your ecclesial life, and finally those people that we meet in our daily interactions around us in the world. 2 Timothy says this: the hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Another role as a member of the ecclesia is to be supportive for those in need. And remember, it's always a two-way street. We also need support from others on our walk to the kingdom, and sometimes not that easy to ask for help. We tend to try and fix it by ourselves. You know, and you can have those conversations in prayer and meditation and think on these things, but there's nothing like being able to, what's the old saying, sharing a problem, halving the problem. A problem shared is a problem halved. There you go. I got there in the end. You know, what we read in 1 Thessalonians, you know, speaks of this. You, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the faith and love as breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Because God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact as you are doing. So in this theme of having a supportive nature, we can use this as a reminder to get involved. Probably don't need to tell you guys this, because in a smaller ecclesia, you're all involved all the time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have an ecclesia. But, you know, treating this like this 800-metre relay, where each individual has their strengths, that's why they're put in certain parts of the race. But it's also, you know, their result is based on how well the rest of their teammates perform. It is an individual race to the kingdom for each of us, but we are not competing with nor against other teammates to the race to the kingdom. And if you think about it, if you're going to the Olympics, given this was written well before the Olympics, but now the Olympics are on or about to finish, you know, what happens at the beginning of each Olympics? And the fact that all the athletes assemble and are presented and unified under their respective country flags, irrespective of their discipline they're to compete in. So each of us have these strengths in different areas, but like those Olympians, we all come together like we do now. We're all together under the Lord Jesus Christ banner. So developing relationships then, and getting God's perspective. And one of the key things when walking in the truth is around relationship development. You know, I've mentioned before the importance of relationships within your ecclesia and how we support each other, but you know, this is incredibly vital for your individual walk, and that is developing a relationship with God. You know, relationships in anything, school, work, romantic, all take some common but key ingredients, and that is communication, patience, they take work, they take time, they take energy, and they always take the right intentions. And none of these elements are any different from our ideal relationship with God. Prayer and meditating on his word got us to this point in our lives as baptized brethren today. And that now leads to a new beginning. And all those elements are even more important in the search of continuous improvement. Did I do that exhort down here last time? Japanese word, kaizen. Oh, there you go, kaizen, continuous improvement. And when you're faced with trials, you know, try and get out of your own way. And the classic saying of letting go and letting God. Committing all things to him in prayer. We had a recent exhortation from a brother, Brother Jeff Richards, around prayer, and he said making that time in prayer, making it meditative and transforming, not transactional. So when your prayer, your time of prayer, this is an individual thing when I'm thinking, meditative and transforming, not transactional. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's from 2 Timothy also. So developing godly routines and making a habit of your attendance, your reading, your prayer, making a habit of applying the fruits of the Spirit to how we live our daily lives and how we present ourselves to God. Taking time to check in on yourself. Routine maintenance is a key part, and sometimes not the easiest thing to do, especially when you're coasting or when you're stuck in the weeds. And I'm sure we've all been there. I know how I have. says in Timothy, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." And then we have time. And when it comes to our walk and our time in the ecclesia, our time developing relationships with God that's at the forefront of this, we then look to the mechanics of this and the very important factor that impacts us all, and that is the time. And when it comes to time, what are the contributing questions and factors that surround this? And we know not the hour of when the Lord Jesus will return, but we're given clear examples in the many parables of Jesus, the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the clear message is that it is never a matter of if, but it's a matter of when he will return. And so then how much time do we have? Maybe not much. And then the second question is, when is the Lord Jesus going to return? Now, all Christadelphians, past and present, have one universal agreement on this question of when this will take place. We are thoroughly united in this. When is the Lord Jesus going to return? Soon. Soon. So we have this fundamental message: the Lord Jesus, who was born, lived, and then died on the cross, becoming that atonement. He was risen again, and the promise to us that he will return at some point in the future. Could be today, could be this afternoon, could be tomorrow morning, could be next week, a year, who knows. But it's soon. Well, it's sooner than yesterday, anyway. Now, if we truly believe in that, and it's not easy sometimes, it can seem distant, but we're trimming our lamps in preparation. You know, how well are we doing this? How much time and effort are we putting into this preparation? You know, in my life and what I do in a day job, in my day job, outside of my family day job, but my work income day job, I have to spend a lot of time in strategies and discoveries and planning, which is not naturally my way. As I've got older, I've had to learn how to get better at it. But the simple fact is, if I didn't spend that time in doing that discovery, that reading, I wouldn't be very good at my job. It would come through when meeting with clients that I was ill-prepared, just like when you meet someone who's speaking on something, like an exhort today, who's ill-prepared, it shines through and it leaves doubts and questions in your mind. But I put a lot of time into those important things for my work life to prepare. I don't turn up to work late. I don't sit at my desk, you know, staring out the window. I don't ignore the tough phone calls from clients. And constantly I'm always having to build relationships, and sometimes in a very short space of time, which is not an easy task to do. But if I didn't prepare, I would get found out. And it's a similar walk to our ecclesial life. If we're not preparing, if we're not taking the time to prepare, you know, are we going to get found out? We know we'll be questioned and judged one day, and let's hope, well, for all of us, we have been found pleasing in God's sight. But if we never spend time in God's word, if we don't live according to Christ's teaching, and having at least trying to have a pure and clean heart, we may not be found pleasing in God's sight. And that is not a fun or good alternative. And it's only by God's grace that any of us will be deemed worthy of receiving that life ever after in the kingdom. But we have to make good choices of how we spend our time, because there is a lot of distractions in this world. Some people will say there's more distractions for our young people at this time of world. I think it's always been the same, all of the time. There's always been forces opposed to try and consume our time elsewhere in our ecclesial life. And so we have this way that we can approach things by posing this question from time to time. Is this the very best use of my time right now? How is my relationship with God right now? And is this the very best use of my time right now? So prioritise and focus on a small handful of activities that you can do every day that produce more results or better results. And could be prayer, meditation, reading your Bible, fellowship. And these somewhat brief activities impact the rest of our lives, or the whole of our lives. And their impact on increasing this is exponential. So, in summing up, in case the young people missed that, develop a relationship with God through prayer, meditation, Bible study. Maintain communication and strength. Strengthen your relationships within your ecclesia. Develop godly habits and routines. And use your time effectively and wisely. And we look to Jesus then, who had all of these attributes in spades. And we are to model ourselves on his example, as Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. But not only aiming for unattainable perfection, but also being mindful of the need to continuously grow and develop in the truth. And as we walk in our journey with faith, whether new to the path or already years down the track, we hope in unity with one another that we trust in the Lord and find new strength at every turn. Psalm 118 says this: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Thank you.